Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPTI Law. www.nipti.org/law.
People v. Joneki Martinez Estrella, decided March 19, 2024. Troutman, J. The People Appeal from an Order of the Appellate Division that vacated defendant's conviction of murder in the first degree after concluding that two elements of that crime were not proven by legally sufficient evidence. Although we agree with the people that the appellate division erred in concluding that one element of that crime was not proven, we agree with the appellate division that a second element was not satisfied. We therefore affirm. 1. This case arises from hostilities that developed among factions of the Bronx Trinitarios gang. On June 20, 2018, the leaders of two of those factions, Los Shurs and the Bad Boys, directed their members to seek out and attack members of another group, the Sunsets. Defendant was a probationary member of Los Shurs who set out with other gang members to find and attack Sunset members. The group came across 15-year-old Lisandro Guzman Feliz, otherwise known as Junior. Mistakenly believing Junior to be a Sunset member, the group chased him, dragging him from a bodega and stabbing him with knives and a machete. Defendant delivered the fatal blow by stabbing Junior in the neck with a knife, after which Junior lived for at least several minutes as he struggled to make his way to a hospital two blocks away before he bled to death. The entire attack was captured on surveillance video. Defendant was tried with four other co-defendants and was convicted of first-degree murder pursuant to Penal Law Section 125.27(1)(a)(x), among other crimes. On appeal, the appellate division unanimously modified by vacating defendant's conviction of first-degree murder and dismissing that count of the indictment, and otherwise affirmed, People v. Estrella. The court concluded that two of the necessary elements of first-degree murder were not satisfied by legally sufficient evidence. First, the appellate division held that defendant and his accomplices did not engage in a course of conduct involving the intentional infliction of extreme physical pain. Second, the court held that the record also fails to support the conclusion that defendant relished or evidenced a sense of pleasure in the infliction of extreme physical pain. The appellate division rejected defendant's contention that his conviction of second-degree murder was not supported by legally sufficient evidence. A judge of this court granted the people's application for leave to appeal and denied defendant's application. 2. A verdict is legally sufficient when, viewing the facts in a light most favorable to the people, there is a valid line of reasoning and permissible inferences from which a rational jury could have found the elements of the crime proved beyond a reasonable doubt. People v. Danielson, quoting People v. Acosta. A sufficiency inquiry requires a court to marshal competent facts most favorable to the people and determine whether, as a matter of law, a jury could logically conclude that the people sustained its burden of proof. This deferential standard is employed because the court's role on legal sufficiency review is simply to determine whether enough evidence has been presented so that the resulting verdict was lawful. People v. Lee, quoting Acosta. Penal Law Section 125.27(1)(a)(x) provides that a defendant who kills another commits first-degree murder when, with intent to kill, defendant acted in an especially cruel and wanton manner pursuant to a course of conduct intended to inflict and inflicting torture upon the victim prior to the victim's death. As used in this subparagraph, torture means the intentional and depraved infliction of extreme physical pain. Depraved means the defendant relished the infliction of extreme physical pain upon the victim, evidencing debasement or perversion, or that the defendant evidenced a sense of pleasure in the infliction of extreme physical pain. This torture murder subdivision therefore required the people to prove that defendant and his accomplices acted pursuant to a course of conduct intended to inflict and which in fact inflicted extreme physical pain upon Junior before his death. The people were also required to prove that defendant himself relished the infliction of extreme physical pain upon Junior, evidencing debasement or perversion, or that defendant evidenced the sense of pleasure at inflicting extreme physical pain upon Junior. The appellate division concluded that neither of these elements were established by legally sufficient evidence. See Estrella. A. Penal Law Section 125.27(1)(a)(x) does not define the term course of conduct. However, other penal law statutes use the same phrase and are thus instructive. In the context of interpreting the harassment statute, we have held that a single, isolated act is insufficient to establish a course of conduct, see People v. Valerio, People v. Wood. Similarly, the appellate division has held that the course of conduct element necessary to convict defendant of third-degree stalking requires a series of acts evidencing a continuity of purpose, People v. Ebbink, quoting People v. Payden. We agree with defendant that by using the phrase course of conduct in the torture-murder subdivision, the legislature intended to require a series of distinct acts before the victim's death that are intended to inflict and actually inflict extreme physical pain. We therefore reject the people's assertion that the relevant course of conduct commenced with the gang's planning meeting held before the attack on Junior. The plain text of the statute requires that the course of conduct actually inflict extreme physical pain upon the victim before death. Penal Law Section 125.271(a)(x), defendant's planning, as well as the psychological pain suffered by Junior while he was being chased by defendant and his accomplices, although horrible to contemplate, are not part of the course of conduct required under the statute. The planning did not cause Junior physical pain. Moreover, we disagree with the people that the course of conduct element would be satisfied if defendant's fatal blow to Junior's neck was the only wound to cause Junior extreme physical pain before his death. A single, isolated act cannot satisfy the course of conduct element, see Valerio, and the statute clearly states that a course of conduct must inflict the requisite extreme physical pain before death. We therefore agree with the chief judge that the course of conduct must cause extreme physical pain, not solely the fatal blow that caused Junior's death, see Wilson. We disagree, however, to the extent that the chief judge suggests that we have rendered Penal Law Section 125.26(2)(a) entirely superfluous. The legislative history for the 2009 amendment that added this subdivision makes clear that in response to a specific crime of child abuse, the legislature intended to eliminate the relish or pleasure requirement where a defendant tortures a child less than 14 years old. That is the key distinction between the two statutes, not the course of conduct requirement, which exists in both Penal Law Section 125.271(a)(x) and Section 125.26(2)(a). We nevertheless disagree with the appellate division that the people's evidence was not legally sufficient to establish the course of conduct element. The appellate division's holding appears to be based upon its conclusion that although defendant's fatal stab wound to Junior's neck caused Junior extreme physical pain before his death, the other injuries Junior suffered beforehand were superficial, see Estrella. The medical examiner who performed the autopsy testified that aside from the stab wound to his neck, Junior suffered several other sharp force injuries, as well as other blunt force injuries and defensive wounds. Junior's neck wound ultimately caused his death by exsanguination, and the medical examiner described his remaining sharp force injuries as superficial, meaning that they impacted only the top layers of skin. The medical examiner clarified that superficial was a medical term, and that it had no bearing on the pain the wound would have caused. This testimony as well as the surveillance video established that before defendant stabbed Junior in the neck, defendant's accomplices dragged Junior from the bodega, stabbed him multiple times with knives and a machete, and that Junior suffered several sharp force injuries, blunt force injuries, and defensive wounds as a result. There was a valid line of reasoning and permissible inferences from which a rational jury could conclude that these additional wounds, coupled with a fatal stab wound, caused Junior extreme physical pain before his death. Although a rational jury might have also concluded that only the fatal stab wound caused Junior extreme physical pain, we are required to draw every reasonable inference in the people's favor on a legal sufficiency review, see Lee. A rational jury could have concluded that Junior's other wounds, inflicted pursuant to a course of conduct during which Junior was dragged from the store to the street, and then while on the ground subjected to several stab wounds of varying degrees from multiple assailants, caused him extreme physical pain before his death. We respectfully disagree with the chief judge that the statutory definition of serious physical injury is relevant to the meaning of extreme physical pain, see Wilson. The legislature could have chosen to define extreme physical pain, as it did with serious physical injury, see Penal Law Section 10.00(10), or it could have chosen to equate torture with a level of injury rather than a level of pain, but it did not. In People v. Stewart, upon which the concurrence relies, the court acknowledged that pain may itself be disabling, but the victim did not testify that his pain rose to that level. Here, as the chief judge acknowledges, Jr. was not alive to testify to the amount of pain he was in before his death. The jurors, who were presented with all the evidence regarding Jr.'s wounds, including graphic videotape evidence, were entitled to give the statutory words their ordinary meaning and rely upon their common sense and life experience to determine if Jr.'s physical pain would have been extreme, see generally People v. Versaghi. We further disagree that the legislature's use of the term course of conduct evinces a legislative intent to require a series of acts that are chargeable as separate crimes, see Wilson. The legislature could have required that multiple underlying crimes be committed for the element of torture to be satisfied. Indeed, the legislature has structured other crimes in precisely this manner by imposing both a durational element and requiring that multiple crimes be committed during that period. See, for example, Penal Law Section 130.80. Inasmuch as our role in interpreting the statute is to effectuate the intent of the legislature, see generally People v. Holes, we decline to add an element that the legislature did not see fit to impose. Ultimately, although this case may not fit the paradigm of torture murder that most would envision, all that was needed for the charge to be sustained was for the people to satisfy its elements, Lee. B. We agree with the appellate division, however, that the people failed to establish by legally sufficient evidence that defendant relished the infliction of extreme physical pain or evidenced a sense of pleasure in the infliction of extreme physical pain, Penal Law Section 125.27, 1, a. X. The people's evidence with respect to this mens rea element consisted of testimony that, shortly after attacking Jr., defendant stated in a boastful tone that Jr. was not gonna eat for a good long time because defendant hit him in the neck. The people also presented evidence that defendant sought out Law Schur's leadership after the attack to claim responsibility for stabbing Jr. in the neck. This evidence demonstrates, at most, that defendant took pride in having killed Jr., not that he took pleasure in causing Jr. extreme physical pain before his death. The statute is clear that the defendant must relish or take pleasure in inflicting extreme physical pain, not simply in killing the victim, see Penal Law Section 125.27, 1, a, x. Moreover, inasmuch as the defendant must also intend that the victim be killed, and the statute requires that the victim's extreme physical pain occur prior to death, the statute requires that the defendant inflicted extreme physical pain and took pleasure in doing so before killing the victim. Of course, intent can be inferred from conduct, and a defendant will rarely announce in the presence of witnesses that they are taking pleasure from inflicting pain upon the victim, see generally People v. Rodriguez. When a defendant inflicts needlessly brutal or prolonged suffering upon the victim before death, a rational jury may, based on the totality of the evidence, reasonably infer that the defendant took pleasure in inflicting extreme physical pain, see People v. Williams, see also People v. Bone, decided today. Those circumstances are not present here. There was no evidence presented that defendant was aware at the time of the attack of how long it took Jr. to die after he stabbed him, inasmuch as defendant and his accomplices immediately fled the scene of the attack. Defendant's boasting was evidence that he believed that the murder would gain him status in the gang and that he took pleasure in causing Jr.'s death. But the statute requires the defendant to take pleasure in inflicting extreme physical pain before the victim dies, not merely to take pleasure in the murder, even a murder that is particularly heinous, or in the perverse gains achieved by killing another. We therefore conclude that the appellate division correctly held that the people failed to establish this element of the first-degree murder statute with legally sufficient evidence. Accordingly, the order of the appellate division, insofar as appealed from, should be affirmed. Order insofar as appealed from affirmed. Opinion by Judge Troutman. Judges Rivera, Garcia, Cannataro and Halligan concur. Chief Judge Wilson concurs in result in an opinion. Judge Singas concurs in result in a separate concurring opinion. Decided March 19, 2024.
Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPT Law. www.nipt.org/law